Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome in. It is time for Three Guys Before the Game, and this is it, the Texas edition of Three Guys. We welcome you in, Tony Caridi, along with the Senator and the Dean, Hoppy Kirchival. West Virginia and Texas, the Mountaineers getting ready to head to Austin for what could be its biggest win of the season to date. This would be the biggest win of the season to date, a matchup against the nationally ranked Longhorns of Texas. Gentlemen, we talked a little bit about it on Monday's show. Now we go deep dive. And I'm just telling you what, for the first time in Three Guys history,
you prepared.
I made my, that's the first time I've ever made a chart. Like, I literally went to YouTube to find out how do you make a grid on Microsoft Word, because
I accused him of not doing it himself in our pre-production meeting.
Yeah.
Which would be logical, right? That he wouldn't know how to do that.
Yeah, but I, and you know why?
Because somebody does stuff for him.
Well,
he has minions.
Well, that's true, but I did do this.
Okay.
And what I was trying to find out, you know, Indiana Jones was always hunting for whatever that thing he was hunting for, right? So I was hunting for what is the ingredient that you need to beat Texas. So I went back and I looked at the 8 losses that Tom Herman has suffered through his season and the half three quarters at Texas. And I tried to find, Hoppy, a commonality of what happens when they get beat.
Good path.
And I'll have that information for you here very shortly. And the Senator, he hit me earlier today with some numerical wow that made me go, that's interesting too. 'Tis the season.
Got a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we're geeked up.
It's a big game, so you got to have a lot of stuff to go into this game.
Hoppy, you're a big game guy. What's the significance of this game? The
significance of this is that if you're going to compete for the Big 12 championship, you go win the game. Don't worry about... I'm always into the national perspective. Don't worry about that because, you know, these early rankings have come out and you're the lowest ranked one-loss team. You're going to have a really hard time getting into the Final Four. Don't worry about that. And if you beat Texas, the national story is going to be, well, Texas really isn't back. Tom Herman's not there yet. Forget about that. Begin your November march to the title game and beat Texas. That's what it's about.
Plain and simple. Senator, concur?
Yeah, he's absolutely right. And this is one of those games because Texas isn't elite, but they're better than average. This is a good Texas team. So this isn't an easy win. West Virginia has really struggled in the Big 12 on the road against ranked teams. We know that win over Texas Tech earlier was the first win on the road against a ranked team in the Big 12 since 2012, when West Virginia went on the road into this same stadium and beat a ranked Texas team. So this is hard to do. West Virginia is going to have to look more like the team that played against Baylor than the one that played against Iowa State, obviously.
One stat I did come up with, and by the way, it's not available on this current graph, but the first stat that I did come up with this week, and actually I sent the intern, Taylor Kennedy. I said, Taylor, this is what I want to know. I want to know what West Virginia's record is under Dana Holgorsen after the Mountaineers win a home game and then go out onto the road.
Good.
Right?
You have like an answer yet, or is he still efforting?
No, it was easy. We did it together. We just kind of went through the thing. West Virginia, under Coach Holgorsen, when it wins a home game and then plays its next game on the road, wins 66% of the time.
Okay, that's good number. Good.
Wins 66% of the time. So that was just kind of a – but that stat's nothing compared to
– Well, you've really built this up.
You might as well go ahead with that because that's more big picture than mine. Mine's down in the weeds on some strategy, some X and O stuff. So let's work – big picture down. We'll take the funnel and go down.
Okay.
So you go ahead. Unveil this famous chart you've been working on.
So, and by the way, this will be available later this week, various websites.
For
tomorrow. No, it'll be available tomorrow.
You're not going to put it behind a paywall?
No, I had to write a story for WVUSports.com, so I said, the hell with that. I did all this research. I'm bringing it up. So here we...
You'll be using that for a week.
Here's the oral...
It'll be in the scene setter.
Here's the oral explanation of my data. So, Texas is 13-8 under Tom Herman since he took over. So they have 8 losses. 2 of those losses have come this year. So this all started when I was talking with Brian Davis, the beat writer for the Austin American-Statesman. I said, how do you beat West Virginia? He said, go fast. He said, go fast. That's your best chance. Just go fast.
How do you beat Texas, you mean?
How did I say?
Yeah, you said how to beat West Virginia. You meant how to beat Texas,
how to beat
right?
Texas. How to beat Texas. He said, go fast. So I said, oh, okay, I'm going to go look and see how many total snaps both Maryland, who they lost to this year, and last week Oklahoma State, how many snaps did they take? So I looked at it. Maryland had 80, and Oklahoma State had 85. So I go, he's on to something. Play fast, play quick. Then I went, okay, what about in the past, the six other losses that they had last year? And here's the play totals from last year in the games they lost. The opposing teams have run 79, 73, 89, 88, 67, and 58. So when it comes to snaps per game, in six of Texas's eight losses under Herman, the opposing team ran 73 or more plays. So 75% of the time, the opposing team is running 73 or more plays. It's a concern for West Virginia because you know how many plays West Virginia is averaging this year?
Not that many.
No.
65. 65.
Okay, so that's a fascinating number. Let's talk about that. So is it causation or correlation? Meaning, did the frequency of plays cause Texas to lose, or is it a simple correlation that teams that beat Texas tend to run more plays?
Okay, along that line. I won't give you your answer, but I'll give you a stat that may answer your question. So Dana Holgorsen, the biggest stat that he follows in the game, he says, don't care about time of possession. I don't care about a lot of these other stats that other people care about. My biggest stat is average yards per play. He always says, if you can get, and this is a Mike Leach thing, if you can get approximately 2 yards more per play than the opposing team, there's a high percentage that you win the game. So here on my sheet, I did that one. I did that one as well. And in seven of the eight losses that Texas has suffered, they lost the average per play category. The only time they lost, or the only time they won average yardage per play, was this year against Maryland. They averaged 5.4 and Maryland averaged 5.1. So Dana's stat comes true. You have to be able to average more yards per play, which, Hoppy, would probably lead to your answer as far as
snaps. Causation. Yeah. Tony, two things. First of all, nice job
on
the research.
Sure.
Second of all, you look at that Oklahoma State win over Texas, and they had Oklahoma State in their last win ran 27 plays in the first quarter and scored 17 points. And we saw that Oklahoma State game. They were playing fast,
they were.
Brad, against Texas. I mean, really fast. Barely getting lined up. Extremely fast.
Yeah, they were taking advantage of those suspensions in the Texas secondary and went after them hard in the first quarter. That's where the game was won. When they have 240-some yards in the first quarter against Texas, and Texas slowly got itself back in it. So along those lines, fast starts are important. Six of Texas's eight opponents this year have scored on its opening drive. So think about that. They have not been ready to go early, at least defensively. So that's going to be a key as well. Can West Virginia jump out like Oklahoma State did and get that lead early? And then, Tony, that might lead to some of those stats you're looking at, being able to go fast, get more plays in, and get some yards per play racked up.
Yeah. Here's some other numbers, guys. First downs. 62% of the time that Texas has lost, the opposing team has had 20 or more first downs. That 20 has always been kind of a given number. If you get to 20, you're probably doing well. And in six of the in five of the eight losses, the opposing team has had 20 or more first downs. Here's another one for you. If West Virginia is going to win this game, don't be shocked and don't be surprised if the game's really close. This is a pretty impressive stat on Texas's part. So they have lost eight times under Tom Herman. Only twice of those eight losses have they lost by double digits. And how about this one here? In the margin of victory by the opposing team, the average margin of victory, in six of the eight losses, it's been by 5 points or less. They've lost by 5, 3, 4, 23, 3, 5, 3, 10. People are not whacking these guys. The only team that ever whacked them was TCU a year ago, beat them 23. Lined up, beat them 23.
They did.
But everything else has been close.
Well, and that plays right into this series, right? The average score in this West Virginia-Texas series, Texas 32, West Virginia 30. The average margin of victory in two of three West Virginia's games, 3.5 points. So this has generally been a close series. That number that you just read, Tony, that's why people were so high on Texas this year, because it looks as if they're close to turning the corner because they're at least playing in games.
Yeah. And as far as the scoring from these teams that have beaten Texas, they average 30 points per game. 30 points per game is what they average. And so West Virginia is currently averaging 40 points per game. So that would play well as far as that category goes. The team that scored the most points ever in a loss for Tom Herman at Texas was Maryland in their very first game. So you throw that one out. Yeah, that was a year ago. They scored 51. Other than that, I mean, they've lost two of these games that I've been mentioning of these eight have been in overtime. They lost a double overtime game a year ago to USC, 27-24. And then last year, Oklahoma State beat them in Austin, 13-10 in overtime. So grinder.
Close,
be ready for a grinder.
Score some points. Also along these lines, now this isn't a Tom Herman stat because obviously West Virginia didn't beat this Tom Herman team last year, but I think we all agree most of that was due to Will Grier being out so early. But West Virginia averages, when it wins in this series, it's averaged 37 points, which is, again, right in line with some of the trends under these Tom Herman losses.
By no means do I want to take this and make it the focal point of our show, because the Senator also has, you had a pretty good stat here. And this, I think, I'll share this with the coaching staff in case they don't know, because this will indicate what they should do.
So we always talk, Hoppy, about how important third down is. And West Virginia has struggled the last 2 weeks in third down, just 1 of 10 in each of those games. So third down is going to be important. When I think of Texas, one of the things that has concerned me from a WVU perspective is their ability to get to the quarterback. They're big up front. If they can rush, how often have you heard this?
Yeah.
If they can rush up front, the other guys can go in coverage, then you're in some trouble. When Will Grier's clean, when he has a clean pocket, he can be devastating.
Lethal.
With this group of receivers. So they've got to get pressure. Oh, no, here comes Texas. They're going to be good at pressure. You know what? Texas is not in the top 100 schools in the country in getting pressure on the quarterback on non-passing downs. So generally what they're talking about there is third down. When it turns to third down, Texas can get to you. But on first and second down, they're not in the top 100 in getting pressure on the quarterback. Now, the counter to that, so, okay, what's West Virginia need to do? Needs to stay out of third down, especially third and long, and then you're in some trouble. West Virginia has gained 78% of its first downs this season.
On first down.
On first or second down.
Yeah.
So that stat, if that holds, that should work in West Virginia's favor. If they can keep the chains moving and stay out of a bunch of third downs, then they should be in pretty good shape. If they get into third down, especially third and medium or third and long, when they have to throw and Texas can pin its ear back, look out. So I know that's a stat you kind of know. You might not know those exact numbers, but intuitively you know, stay out of third and long and you're probably going to be okay. But those numbers really bear itself out. I'll give you one more. Texas is 117th in the country in explosive play defense, meaning you can big play these guys. What's West Virginia like to do?
Big play.
So there you go. There's another stat if you're looking for something. Those defensive backs really struggled last week early when they were out. The freshmen weren't ready to go. How do those guys do when they're back in, and can West Virginia attack that defensive secondary of Texas?
You know, all season we've been complimenting West Virginia for its ability to replace players that have been injured on defense. You talk to the Texas people, and when we had Brian Davis on Sportsline this week, he said they're getting close to becoming, you know, the Texas that a lot of people thought that they would. He said, but this is still a team that if you take out a couple of key players, they just become extremely average. And I think that's to your point right there. They take out those two corners for disciplinary reasons last week and not as effective. There's a couple of guys that are banged up. Sam Ellinger, the quarterback, has a shoulder injury, despite the fact that, you know, he threw his two best balls of the last week against Oklahoma State that he had all season through a couple of great completions. That still is a concern. He's got to be a massive concern for West Virginia. You've got to think all week long, Tony Gibson is saying, guys, you thought Brock Purdy hurt us with his feet with that little pump and go, this guy is a truck. And Brock Purdy is a compact car compared to what this guy will be. He hurt us last year huge with some late first down pickups off runs. that is going to be absolutely essential.
Texas killed West Virginia last year on the ground, absolutely ate them up. So that's one of the big questions coming in here is you would think sitting here today, Texas is going to say, we're going big and we're giving it to the quarterback and we're going to run some quarterback power, much like the old Kansas State teams, right? That's the theory that you would think you would get. They couldn't do that against Oklahoma State because the Cowboys jumped out and got in front of them so much. He had to throw the ball 42 times against them, only ran it 10. What happens in this game? Can West Virginia slow him down enough to make Ehlinger have to throw it and not just run that big power? Because Texas hasn't run the ball well this year.
No, they haven't.
They're not great on pressure early, and they have not run the ball well. There's concerns about their offensive line.
Well, we talk about the rush, and we say West Virginia has not been an effective rushing team, and they haven't. They're eighth in the league at 148 a game. Texas is fifth, but it's only 154. Mm-hmm. So they're not a great running team either, although you don't worry so much about their ability to run the ball like 300 yards as you do Ehlinger taking off on third down, third and six, and there's nobody there, and he runs, he gets a first down, the defense stays on the field.
Killers, those are the plays that kill teams. They damage your psyche as much as they damage the down and distance. Now, Hoppy, you watched the game not once but twice over the weekend. West Virginia, it would seem as though, has got to attack the perimeter, correct? When it runs the ball, let's face it, guys, this is not going to be a West Virginia team that's going to plow people between the tackles and have success for a complete game. They have got to become creative. And I know Will Greer got hurt running the ball against these guys a year ago, but He's got to run it a few times.
Now you're in November, which we've talked about, mm-hmm. and you're trying to. It's not like you're playing for December. You're playing in November, so let him run the ball a couple of times, and then that's an additional weapon. He did it effectively on a third down play in the last game, so you know, take advantage of that, and that gives you something that probably the defense hasn't really prepared for because he hasn't run the ball.
There's no question. The outside zone or that perimeter run is there against Texas. I mean, you've got to look at that if you're West Virginia. That has not been a strength. I'll give you something else to keep an eye on. Will West Virginia go with a double tight formation more? Will they put two backs in there more often? Why should they look at that, Tony? Oklahoma State did that 58% of the time in the game the other night. And it worked.
Double tights or double backs?
Both. One or the other. Either double backs or double tights. Sometimes that's bringing the tight end into the backfield in that H-back position and had a ton of success with it. The other thing to watch, West Virginia has to be able to run it just a little to set up play action. Go back and watch that Oklahoma-Texas game this year. And I know Oklahoma lost that, but it was close. Tyler Murray went some form of play action RPO, some sort of play action, nearly every single play in that game. It was constant just to try and freeze those linebackers. So they're susceptible to that as well. That's not West Virginia's strength. Can they do it in this game, though?
Well, it's not West Virginia's strength as far as Will Greer running the ball because they haven't allowed him to run the ball. But I think a year ago before he got hurt, he showed that he can run the ball.
Oh, he can. No, I meant the play action. Because you've got to be able to run effectively before play action, or otherwise linebackers are going to say, fine, I'm not biting on that fake. Whatever, run it. They'll get 3 yards here.
I also think this is a big game for West Virginia's offensive coaching staff. Because let's face it, mm-hmm. they shrugged their shoulders after the Iowa State game. And they went like, it was us, it was on us, it was on everybody, everyone's involved. They did not do a good job of figuring things out on the fly against Iowa State. Plain and simple. They ate it. And they took it. And they accepted it. They did against Baylor, obviously. They ticked up 41 in the first half. This is the next piece of that.
Agreed.
They have got to make sure that they have these guys schemed properly so that whatever happens, they've got a counter to it.
And that's where I'm talking about two backs, two tight ends, some motion. We saw that against Baylor where there was some motion employed that we hadn't seen before. I'm totally with you. Can this staff continue to move it forward and be ready scheme-wise? Because Mike Gundy was. Mike Gundy and that Cowboys staff absolutely was. They did some things people hadn't seen them do before, and it caught Texas. Can West Virginia do that?
I mean, you're going to do what you do. You're not going to change your offense, but you can disguise it. You can give different looks so the defense thinks, oh, wait a minute, now what do they do when they get
there? Why is that guy there? We haven't seen that before.
You're just doing the same thing. You're just making it look different.
Agree.
Absolutely.
Agree.
Totally agree with you.
By the way, I do not have anything compared to what you all have. I got a couple of things written, scribbled down on some legal pad. You guys have really carried the weight statistically here in this broadcast.
Hoppy, you're going to be hosting a senatorial debate tonight.
Now, I can give you a couple questions on that.
This was not, you've got a bigger fish. I mean, you got a whale to fry. We're just sitting here doing goldfish stuff. Don't you worry about a thing. Hoppy, your equity on this program.
You want some Social Security stats or you want something on,
like ask Brad,
how many
like,
troops are going to the border? I can give you that.
You imagine Hoppy like in a debate with us, like asking us questions.
I've always said that. He hangs much better with us in a football discussion than I ever could in a political discussion.
My goodness. Man of all seasons. All right, you guys ready to close this thing up with the Big 12 schedule for the weekend? Let's get our picks going in here. We've got Iowa State at Kansas. Suddenly resurgent Kansas. Iowa State goes in a 14.5-point favorite. Any shot here for the Jayhawks?
That's, you know, 14.5, that's a lot of points. And I know Kansas beat TCU, but my goodness, TCU is just, they're just trying to get to the end of the season. I like Iowa State. That's a big number to cover, but I'm going to ride the Cyclones here.
See if Iowa State
to cover.
We'll see if Iowa State can bounce back from last week. They won, and that might be the mark that Iowa State's on its move. It played horribly. Right,
had a blocked punt,
gave up
safeties,
and won. That's where they're excited about what they've got going. They played poorly and won. That hasn't happened to Iowa State in decades. Give me Iowa State over Texas or over who are they playing?
Kansas.
You always disrespect Kansas.
Why?
Come on, man. Puka power. Here we go. Next up.
Am I the only one disrespecting Kansas?
No. Baylor will try to bounce back after its loss here in Morgantown, their home, to take on the Cowboys of Oklahoma State. The Pokes go in a 7.5-point pick.
I tell you, Oklahoma State, there's another team you don't know. I mean, you saw how they played against Texas. You go, oh, my gosh. But they're very inconsistent. You don't know what Cornelius is going to give you. But, I'd go Oklahoma State. I mean, maybe Gundy's a good coach. You think, like, maybe they're actually a team that's getting better and going to finish strong. That happens sometimes.
That does happen. You would think this game comes back to the middle for both teams. Baylor can't be as bad as it was against West Virginia. Right. Oklahoma State probably can't be as good as it was against Texas with all that their players wrap up in the Texas game. That probably comes back together a little bit, but I'd still lean Oklahoma State there with the number.
I disagree. I think that they have... That win for them will buoy their confidence. I think they go out on that field thinking that they are better than they actually might be. I say they cover that plus 7.5. I say they win by double figures.
What'd you disagree with me on? I said Oklahoma State covers.
No, I said you guys think that they're going to kind of go in the middle. I think they may go in there and slap them. I think it might be a slap.
You know, Baylor, what are they going to do at quarterback? I mean,
exactly.
They were really, really bad.
By the way, one note on Gundy. You mentioned him. Now, despite the fact that they lost his mind there late in the game against Texas, I was giggling watching him on the sideline during that game because it was unbelievable high drama in the second half of the game. He is so chilled, he's almost disinterested.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that to me, that's a different level.
Until the very end when he goes on the field and got heated and came off like a WWE character when he went hands up.
I know.
He went from one extreme to the other pretty quickly, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. But like when the stuff was flying and like bad things were happening, he just like totally remained his chill, which I thought was kind of interesting.
But how good did he and his staff coach those guys after that game?
Fantastic job. All right, Kansas State, TCU.
Oh.
TCU is an 8-point favorite.
TCU's an 8-point favorite in that over Kansas State.
Yeah.
They're both wrecks right now. I'll tell you what.
I am not a gambler, and Brad, I will give my remaining time to you. I guarantee you, though, or I imagine that Vegas is saying stay away from that
one. I was just going to say, I'll use our Vegas buddies that often say
no
pass.
Value. No value.
Pass on that. I'm not trying to evaluate those teams.
TCU, Kansas State, over-under, 4. All right, last game, Oklahoma at Texas Tech. Featured game
Oklahoma.
In the Big 12. Excuse me?
Oklahoma.
The line is the Sooners by 13.5.
Oklahoma.
Sneaky line, just under 2 touchdowns. Oklahoma. Roll them. No magic for Cliff.
Oklahoma. In going back and watching Texas-Oklahoma a bunch this week, I found myself watching that Oklahoma offense more than I did anything else. They do some really funky, fun things. That's going to be a fun discussion when we get to Oklahoma week. Give me Oklahoma. I'm really impressed with them.
13.5.
You got Oklahoma to cover there?
Yeah. Right. I'm riding the Sooners.
Over
yeah.
under 77.5.
That's a big number. That's
go.
All right. Wild, wild west.
Give me
everything.
Oklahoma. I'm telling you, I watched 100 plays from Kyler Murray here. They're fantastic.
Yeah, they're good. I mean, they got numbers that are among the best all
Texas
time.
Texas beat them. Lined up, beat them.
You're staying with it.
I'm staying with it.
All right. So are we. We're out. That's it, folks, for this Texas edition of Three Guys Before the Game. We're back on Monday to talk about what happens on Saturday in Austin. Thank you for listening. Share it. Tell your friends about it. It is West Virginia's fastest growing podcast.
What, it's international now.
Yeah, my man Craig, He sent us an email. He listens in Colombia on the foothills of the Andes Mountains, where he's a translator for coffee purchases. Great West Virginia fan. We love you, Craig. Thanks for listening. We're out. See ya.
We're big in Medellin.